Matthew chapter 28, verse 18. And we're going to try and read this together. This is not new. Most of you have heard this over and over again. We call this the Great Commission. We consider Matthew's version of the Great Commission to be sort of the standard version of it. And so it's what we know best, okay? And I'm going to be preaching about the Great Commission and how it is that we are to live the Great Commission together right now this morning. And so Matthew 28, verses 18 through 20. Let's stand together, please, as we read. Read aloud with me. And Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age." Thank you so much. Please be seated. Real quick question. Have you ever gotten up to get a drink of water in the middle of the night and full out tripped over something on the floor in the dark and like hit the floor? Has that ever happened to you? Anybody? Thank you for admitting that and confessing to that. It's such a fun experience to have. It's really important to be able to see where you're going. Have you ever been on a road at night in which there is no street light, no anything? We were in Wyoming when we were driving back across the country. And in certain parts of Wyoming, there is no human life whatsoever. There's no lights. There was no moon. There were no stars. It was cloudy. It was pitch black everywhere. There were no street lights. There weren't even reflectors on the sides of the road. All we could see what our headlights were showing right in front of us. Okay, and we could see like the lights of animals that were standing in the middle of the road and stuff. It was the weirdest thing. We had no idea where we were going, except that there was a road in front of us, and we got to keep following it. You know, it's really important to know where we're going. It's really important, not just because you can have a big disaster if you don't know where you're going, but because it's really helpful to feel confident that you know what you're doing. And so, here's. What Ryan and I have tried to do over the last couple of Sundays, and I'm going to be doing the second part of it this Sunday, is talk about a vision of what it is that God wants for us, where He wants us to go, and what He wants our church to be all about. And so we said it this way. We see the First Baptist Church of Dundalk glorifying God by twin passions, fulfilling the Great Commandment and fulfilling the Great Commission. This is not new stuff. You know, we're not trotting out some brand new idea. It's just really very clearly trying to focus on what it is that we're doing. The Great Commandment and the Great Commission. And Ryan preached last week about the Great Commandment. And what we said, we do the first thing by growing a gospel-centered community that displays the love of Jesus in our love for each other. And Ryan talked beautifully about that last week. If you didn't get to hear it, I'm sad to say it's not available because come to Ryan, he'll preach it over again. Actually, we might try and preach it over again and just put a recording of it on our website just so that it'll be there, okay? No, we do the second thing by, listen to this, by growing disciples. We fulfill the Great Commission by growing disciples. That's what He told us to do. Reaching out to people where we live, where we work, and where we play, and inviting them to take part in our kingdom community. We do the second, that is, we fulfill the Great Commandment by growing disciples. And we do that by reaching out to people where we live, where we work, and where we play, and inviting them to take part in our kingdom community. So let's talk about that together for just a little while. We're going to look at the scripture at Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 through 22, and then we're going to look, we're going to think about how do we do this? How do we do this? Listen again to what he said. It's really important to pay attention to what your marching orders are. And Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth is given to me." Why do you think he started off by saying, "All authority is his"? That was not a new idea to his disciples, that he had all authority, that he had the right to tell them what to do. Why did he say it? Because he wanted to drive it home to them back then, and he wanted to drive it home for us right now, that he has the right to tell these things to us, to command these things to us, to give us this commission. So what does he say to do? "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations." He doesn't say go to church. I think you should go to church. I'm glad you have gone to church. I'm glad you're here right now. You're doing exactly the right thing, but what you're doing is a necessary step in fulfilling the commission that he's given you of being a disciple, of living as a disciple, so that you can make disciples. Gathering together on the Lord's Day is the normal thing that disciples do. But that wasn't his first priority. Gathering was not his first priority. His first priority was to make disciples. And then when you make them, then they'll do things like gathering. But when you make disciples, what do? Well, you baptize them in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And then you teach them to observe all that I have commanded you. So what is the church family supposed to be? It's supposed to be a bunch of disciples who are growing together into the kinds of disciples who will make more disciples and grow them by teaching them everything that Jesus has commanded them, and they'll begin doing those things. And the most fundamental things that he has told us to do practically in our lives, we call the ordinances: baptism and the Lord's Supper. He mentions baptism right here in the Great Commission, doesn't he? Because this is what you do when someone first becomes a disciple: you baptize them. But then what do disciples do when they gather together every week? Well, they take the Lord's Supper together. And they learn more, and they praise him more, and they worship him more. That's what we do. So, we see the First Baptist Church of Dundalk glorifying God by twin passions, fulfilling the Great Commandment and fulfilling the Great Commission. We do the first by growing a gospel-centered community that displays the love of Jesus in our love for each other. We do the second by growing disciples, reaching out to people where we live, where we work, and where we play, and inviting them to take part in our kingdom community. That's making disciples. So let me try and share with you two broad doorways through which we need to walk into our great commission that Jesus has given us. The first one is this: living the gospel of the kingdom. And the second will be giving the gospel of the kingdom. So first let's talk about living like a disciple, a follower of Jesus, a subject of his kingdom, a servant of the king. You living like someone who believes the good news and has given his life over to following this king who is the good news. Perhaps you were under the impression that the gospel was something that was supposed to be preached or proclaimed or shared. And if that's what you were thinking, you are dead right. It is something that should be preached and proclaimed and share. We'll get to that in a minute. That's giving the gospel. But first, we got to talk about living the gospel. Because the gospel always involves not just telling good news and inviting people to respond to that good news in the way that God has prescribed. It involves doing something. I mean, knowing and showing that you believe something always involves doing something. It involves living the gospel of the kingdom. So let me just think about that for a minute. Living this out together as a church. The Lord has given us commission to make disciples. The first disciples that we are to make is we are to make and grow each other as disciples. And then we're to make more disciples and grow them, and teach them. So, whether you realize it or not, being part of a church is being part of a mutual growth society. And if you're not open to the idea of growing and having people help you grow and you being involved in helping others grow, then you're really not open to being part of a church. You're looking for something else, something that's not a church. You've made up something on your own, but it's not what Jesus was talking about when he was talking about, when he said, my church. Because a church, the way Jesus describes it, is a mutual growth society. God puts us together to help each other grow as followers of Jesus, to help each other gain a biblical assurance of salvation. Did you hear me? One of the chief meanings of church membership is your church family recognizes you as a member of the family of God because we believe your profession when you say that you have put your faith in Jesus Christ. Baptism is the church saying, yes, we accept this person's profession and we recognize it, and now we accept this person into our church family. The Lord's Supper is us together expressing our common commitment to the same faith that we believe in Jesus Christ, and we accept each other as followers of Jesus Christ. Which is why one reason why when someone has been living in sin and the church has tried to talk to that person about what's going on, and that person has simply shown himself or herself unwilling to repent and deal with the issues, then it may come to the place where, after proper steps have been taken, it may come to the place where the church actually puts the person out of the fellowship. And that doesn't mean that we tell people, you can't come in the building anymore. No, we want them to come in the building. But it does mean that we no longer recognize that that person has a credible profession of faith in Jesus. That his profession of faith in Jesus, he has contradicted it so publicly and so persistently that we can no longer say, yes, we accept you as a brother. Now we've said, well, no, we need to think about this. And you need to think about this. And we've done that as a church a time or two. It's never, never pleasant. Sometimes it has turned out gloriously. Sometimes it's been just painful, and that's all. But that's biblical. That's what you find them doing in the New Testament. And this process of being a church helps us then to gain a biblical assurance that we really are saved. You see, growing as a disciple is a necessary part of knowing that you are a disciple. You can't say, I'm a follower of Jesus, I just haven't changed or grown any in the last 20 years. Somebody's lying to somebody here. Why would I say that to you? That was pretty harsh. The people who love me the most are the people who will tell me when I'm kidding myself, when I'm fooling myself. And because I love you, I will tell you what I've always told you. If you're not following Jesus, you're just fooling yourself by calling yourself a follower of Jesus. I mean, doesn't that just seem obvious just by my saying it? If you're not following Jesus, you're fooling yourself when you tell yourself that you're a follower of Jesus. We do this together. We lovingly help each other to follow Jesus, to grow as a disciple. But growing as a disciple means growing as a disciple maker, because the Great Commission was given to His 12 disciples and others then, long ago, but He's given to His churches, all disciples. All of us are to be disciple makers. All of us are to be growing disciples who are growing more disciples. So you could just say we're growing disciples, growing disciples. Did you get what I just did? We are growing disciples. All of us are disciples who are growing. But what are we growing? The way a farmer grows a field? We are growing more disciples. So we are growing disciples, growing disciples. And that's not an extra special, wonderful church. That's a church. That's a church. And that's what the Lord intends a church to be. So we are growing as disciples, and we are growing new disciples. You should see that up there above my head. We are growing new disciples. Every one of us should have at least a couple of people that we have in mind that we'd like to move just a little bit closer to Jesus. Now look, I'm not saying a couple of people that you have made on your mind. I'm now going to paint a target on the back of that person's head, and I'm just going to shoot him with the gospel, and he's going to get saved tomorrow. You don't have the ability to do that, neither do I. Nobody does. Nobody does. But there are some people that I think each one of us needs to just get in our mind. I'm going to show that person some kindness, some mercy, some service, maybe some humor, make a few jokes, have some laughs. Maybe just show them some basic decency and over time, nudge that person closer to Jesus. And then sometimes you can get someone all the way to Jesus in one conversation. That has never happened to me, by the way. I've had people who in one conversation that I've been just like street witnessing or whatever, or knocking on doors, I've had times when someone would pray to receive Jesus, and praise God when they did. But in terms of seeing someone really come to know Jesus and begin to grow as a follower of Jesus and get plugged into a church, that just doesn't happen from one conversation, does it? Evangelism does not mean convincing someone to fully commit himself to Jesus every time you talk to someone. It just means bumping people just a little bit closer to Jesus. It means growing new disciples like a gardener grows cabbages, you know? Or like a rancher grows calves into steers. But we are growing new disciples. We are growing as disciples who are growing new disciples. That's a key part of our life every day that we live. And that's a key fundamental purpose of why we are a church. Growing disciples, growing disciples. So, the first big door, broad doorway was living the gospel of the kingdom. That's a lot of what Ryan was talking about. That's some of what I just said. But it also involves giving the gospel of the kingdom. Maybe you've heard it said that you should always preach the gospel and when necessary use words. Have you heard that? Raise your hand if you've heard that. You should always preach the gospel, when necessary use words. People have said that was St. Francis of Assisi. Not sure whether he said it or not. It's clever, it's cute, and it actually has some truth to it. That, if you don't actually live it first, then you're going to have a hard time giving it, and that's exactly right. That's exactly right, which is why we talk about living it first before we talk about giving it. But here's a fact, okay? Words are always necessary. Nobody got saved simply because you swept his front porch. He still needed to know the message of the gospel, the message of salvation, the message of the kingdom. He still had to have that. And without it, people aren't going to get saved. So how many times do you have to sweep that person's front porch or help that person fold their laundry or just listen to somebody when they need someone to talk to? How many times do you need to just be kind and be decent and be a servant and show love to get someone to the place where he's willing to listen to the message and respond to it? You know, people have actually studied that sort of thing, and the answer is sort of like this. The number of times that someone needs to actually hear the message before he actually believes it and responds to it is something like 20, on average. And the number of times that someone needs to be loved so that he'll even listen to the message is something like 10 times that much. Now, if I was sitting where you're sitting, this was what I would be thinking. It would go like this. Preacher, you're talking about my whole life! That's what I would be thinking in my head. I think Jesus was talking about your whole life. In fact, I know he was. And because that's what Jesus was talking about, that's what I should be talking about too. I'm not saying quit your job and just become a professional Christian. You know, I'm not saying, you know, give away your pension and give it to the poor and just, you know. I'm not saying that. I recognize that there are things that have to happen. I get that. But I am saying that everything you own, every action you take, every word you speak, every beat of your heart should be devoted to Jesus and his kingdom and inviting more people into it. Now, some people are blessed beyond words to be able to do that full time without having to have another job. Not a lot of folks are, though. Most everybody has to do some work, has to, you know, pay the bills. You kind of get that. But even when you're at work, it's maybe even especially when you're at work, you're still living every minute of every day for the chance to move somebody closer to Jesus, looking for the day when you or somebody will have the opportunity to share the good news of the kingdom of God, to give the gospel of the kingdom. Now look, there are hundreds of different ways to share the gospel message. There really are. There's great diversity of ways to do it. In fact, the best way that you will ever discover, the best procedure you'll ever find for sharing the gospel message will be the one that you work out on your own. Now, most people will have a favorite way of sharing the gospel message. I love the fact that Brother Rod, if you talk to him about how evangelism would be done, he'll get out his little Bible and he'll talk about the Romans Road. Okay? That's been